As you know, we are in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23. Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 23. We're there because it is so crucial. It describes in those few verses the fact that we are damaged as human beings. We are damaged as human beings. Remember earlier I read that thing about a factory recall, that there's a factory recall on human beings. We are damaged. We are defective. There is a virus in us. The virus is called sin. And in Galatians 5, 16, we read about that. Would you please stand with me? Our passage today is Galatians 5, 16 through 23. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. We are damaged. There is a virus in our hearts and minds. It is called sin. And the evidence of that virus manifests itself in our society in the following characteristics. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. There is a factory recall. God the Father has sent the technician, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has taken the full price upon himself. And if we are born again, the Spirit of Christ comes into our hearts and repairs our hearts and minds so that our heart functions properly. The repaired heart that functions properly looks like this. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now, just between you and God, you pray that God would open your heart and soften your heart and give you the wonderful gift of a humble, trusting, submissive heart. That the Word of God would go down deep and change your life today. Will you pray right now, not only for the other people in this room, but for all of our brothers and sisters around the world hearing the Word of God preached today? We need to be edified today. Oh, that the church of God would be edified today. Pray that the Word of God would be preached from this pulpit and pulpits all around the world, and God would give the listeners the glorious grace of a humble, trusting, submissive heart, that the Word of God would go down deep into the hearts of men and women of Christ around the world, that God would be glorified. Pray for church around the world today. Now, would you quickly pray for me that I would preach accurately and therefore powerfully? Heavenly Father, glorify your name, advance your kingdom, and edify and build up your church here and around the world today, that your name would be glorified, and that your church would rise up as salt and light to bring the gospel to this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Today we're going to look at faithfulness. Faithfulness. My original plan was to finish up today. I was going to do faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I warned the board on Wednesday that I was looking at faithfulness, and I didn't think I was going to be able to do faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control all in one Sunday. And sure enough, I cannot do it. Faithfulness is too big. It is too important. So we're going to look at faithfulness today. The Greek word for faithfulness is the same Greek word for faith. It's the same word. It is the word pistis. Pistis. And I like to look at it as two sides of the same coin. Faith is trusting. Faithfulness is being trustworthy. Faithfulness is being trustworthy. Right now, you are putting faith, pistis, in these beams. That this building will not come crashing down on us. You are exercising faith in these beams. You walk in here and you say, okay, these beams will hold. Faith, pistis. Right now, the beams are also pistis. Same coin, two sides. The beams are faithful. They are reliable. They are trustworthy. They are doing their job. So faith is trusting. Faithfulness is being trustworthy. If I am faithful, it means I can be trusted. If I am faithful, it means I keep my word. I am a man of my word. If I tell you I'm going to take care of something, you can count on me to take care of it. That's what it means to be faithful. If I make you a promise, I keep it. That's what it means to be faithful. If you give me a job to do, you can count on the fact that it will get done. That's what it means to be faithful. The best definition I saw of faithfulness, I put in your notes, number one in your notes, the faithful person is someone who is dependable and trustworthy in their word, their loyalty, and their service. The faithful person is someone who is dependable and trustworthy in their word, their loyalty, and their service. Brother Don, do I need to adjust my mic somehow?
No.
I'm good? Do nothing?
Amen.
Do nothing. Amen. All right, number two in your notes, God is perfectly and completely faithful. Amen?
Amen.
God is perfectly and completely faithful. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, verses come alive when you read them in context. Lamentations means what? Weeping, wailing, crying. This is written by Jeremiah. When things are going horrible. Do yourself a favor this week. Lamentations is short. Read the entire thing and look at that verse in context. God is faithful. You can count on God. Amen? In your notes, God is faithful to forgive and cleanse us. God is faithful to forgive and cleanse us. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus Christ is faithful. In the book of Revelation, John describes the second coming of Christ. And he says this, Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he, and that I put Jesus Christ in parentheses, that's not in the verse. He, Jesus Christ, who sat on it, is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. Jesus is called faithful and true. In your notes, Jesus Christ is our faithful high priest. Jesus Christ is our faithful high priest. Hebrews 2:17. Therefore, he, that is Jesus, had to be made like his brethren, that is us, in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. The high priest made atonement or propitiation for the sins of the people in Israel. Remember that? Propitiation means satisfying the wrath of God. I sin in the Old Testament, and the high priest brings a sacrifice. The blood of the sacrifice atones for my sin. God's wrath is satisfied. Jesus Christ is our high priest. He provides satisfaction for a just and holy God, and Jesus is faithful to do that. In your notes, God is faithful to complete His gracious act of saving us. God is faithful to complete His gracious act of saving that. Oh, brother and sister, where would we be? Where would we be if God was moody or forgetful or vacillating, if he changed his mind, if you couldn't count on him, he said, I'll save you, and then we live our entire lives hoping that he comes through? Where would we be? But God is perfectly faithful. Amen? Please join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beautiful, beautiful passage. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in Him, in all speech, in all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. So that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. He is faithful. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are trusting Him for the future. We are trusting him that at the end of the world, he truly will save us. Amen? We're putting that trust in him, and Paul reminds us that God is faithful. We can count on him to do what he says. He will confirm us to the end, blameless in the day of Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who called you, and he will do it. In fact, that's what it says. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who called you, and he will bring it to pass. Amen? Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. He's faithful in the future, and he's faithful in the present. In your notes, God is faithful to help us when we are tempted. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Are you going to face temptation this week? So am I. Can you count on God in that moment? Every time. Brother or sister of Trinity Baptist, remember this verse this week. When you face temptation, God is faithful. There's a wonderful passage about God's faithfulness. You might not have read it. It's not a very common passage. And this is one reason that I always encourage everyone to read the Bible cover to cover. If you just go topical, there are so many passages that you will miss. You've got to read every single passage. This passage is one of them. Would you please join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 1? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Beautiful, beautiful passage that not many people are familiar with. In this confidence, I intended at first to come to you. Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he's saying, I was going to come to you. I had an original plan to come to you in the city of Corinth. In this confidence, I intended at first to come to you so that you might thrice receive a blessing, that is, to pass your way into Macedonia, and again from Macedonia to come to you, and by way of you be helped on my way to Judea. Therefore, I was not vacillating when I intended to do this, was I? Or what I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, so that with me there may be yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? Paul is saying, you can count on me. It's not with me, it's not yes, yes, and no, no, like I'm going to change my mind. Now look at the example he uses, verse 18. But God is faithful. As God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but it is yes in him. Look at verse 20, Trinity Baptist. For as many as are the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. God is faithful. When God makes a promise, it is not yes and no. When God makes a promise, he does not change his mind. He does not forget. He does not fail. When God makes a promise, it is yes.
Verse 21, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. The Holy Spirit in your hearts is an engagement ring. It's God's promise that he will complete the salvation. When God makes a promise, it is yes. As many as are the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yes. God is faithful. One of the best verses for God's faithfulness was mentioned in our prayer time before the service. Take a look at 2 Timothy 2:11-13. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. In your notes, God is faithful. And God's Spirit lives in us. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. Let him be the controlling influence in your life, and he will fill you with faithfulness. God is faithful, and God's Spirit lives in us. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. Let him be the controlling influence in your life, and he will fill you with faithfulness. Faithfulness is very important to Christianity. It is what I would call a core value of being a Christian, is faithfulness. Look at what Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. Jesus says the weightier matters of the law are not tithing every little tiny plant. The weightier matters, what's important to God, is that we live a life of justice and mercy and faithfulness. Jesus captures the idea of faithfulness in his parables. And we studied his parables when we went through the book of Matthew. But you can see what faithfulness is in Matthew 24:45-50. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master's not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour when he does not know. The faithful slave in that passage is the slave that faithfully does his job. He is loyal, he is dependable, he is trustworthy. That's what it means to be faithful. Join me, please, in Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. Another great parable of faithfulness. It is just like a man about to go on a journey, Matthew 25:14. And he called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents. Talent is a unit of weight. It's not like a gift, like an ability. It's a unit of weight, a unit of money. 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of these slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more, saying, Master, you entrusted me 5 talents. I've gained 5 more. That slave was dependable, trustworthy, and loyal. The master entrusted, do you hear it? Entrusted. The master entrusted him with 5 talents. He was dependable. What does the master say? His master, verse 21, said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've gained 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you'd be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. I was afraid. I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. You ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you see what faithfulness is? It's the word is pistis. Faith and faithfulness, same word. Trust and trustworthy. The faithful slave was given a job to do, and he proved to be dependable and trustworthy. There's a great verse in Titus chapter 2:9, and I have it in your notes. It's number 8 in your notes. When Christians exhibit faithfulness, we adorn our message. We adorn our message. We all know what the word adorn means. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. When you go to a wedding and you hear, and everyone stands up, and you turn around, and here comes the bride. The doors are open, and here comes a bride adorned for her husband. That's what the word means. It means adorned. When Christians exhibit faithfulness, we adorn our message. Look at Titus 2:9-10. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything. To be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith. So that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. When Christians are faithful people, if you and I are loyal, are a loyal, dependable, trustworthy employee, we adorn the gospel message. Amen? If you are a loyal, trustworthy, dependable employee, a loyal, trustworthy, dependable student, husband, wife, father, mother, wherever God has placed you, if you are loyal, dependable, and trustworthy in that position, you adorn the gospel. Chief Twist is here, and he told us that there are 47 churches in the city of Indio. Yet there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are still unbelievers. What does Indio need? Indio needs me and you to adorn the gospel of God with our behavior. When Indio sees that Christian husbands are faithful husbands, that Christian wives are faithful wives, that Christian employees are loyal and dependable and trustworthy, that Christian neighbors are loyal and dependable and trustworthy, that Christian students at Indio High School and Shadow Hills High School, that Christian students are loyal and dependable and trustworthy and full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness. The gospel of God will be adorned like a bride prepared for her husband. That is what Indio needs. When Paul talks to Timothy, he tells him to pass on the teaching to faithful people. 2 Timothy 2:2. This is Paul giving advice to a young pastor named Timothy. The things which you heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul says to Timothy, I've taught you the scriptures. Now find faithful men. Pass it on to them, and they will be faithful to pass it on to other people. Faithfulness is a very important quality of elder. It is a quality that Jerry Mills has. In your notes, number 9, ultimately, we must be faithful to God. Ultimately, we must be faithful to God. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. This is the risen Lord Jesus Christ's message to the church in Smyrna. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last who is dead and has come to life says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you're rich. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested. And you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Christ, the risen Christ, says to the church in Smyrna, you are about to be persecuted. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. We need to be faithful husbands, faithful wives, faithful employees, faithful church members. But above and beyond all that, we are called by the power of the Holy Spirit to be faithful children of God. Our brothers and sisters all over the world are being persecuted. And maybe someday we will be persecuted too. We really don't know. Those of you that are older in this room can testify to the fact that the world changes very quickly. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to be faithful unto death. We had the One Hope Project Youth Rally just a couple of days ago, and we see videos of people on the other side of the world that are being persecuted for their faith. And they interviewed this one young lady who was being persecuted for her faith, and she lives in a village, and of course, other people came in and attacked
the village.
And with violence they persecute brothers and sisters. And they interviewed this lady. And you know what she said to her persecutors? She said, I love Jesus Christ. Let me live, I win. Kill me now, I win. The Holy Spirit in her heart gave her the ability to do that. Because the results of the Holy Spirit in my life is faithfulness. It's not something you can do in your own strength. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control is not a command. It's a list of results. It's a list of products of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Our Lord Jesus gave us a final command. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He gives those parables about faithfulness that we looked at in Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. He ends Matthew at 28. Here's your job. Now I'm going. When I come back, will you have done it? Are you faithful to God? Are you faithful to God? Can He depend on your word? When you tell God you will do something, do you follow through? Can God depend on your loyalty to the end? Are you faithfully carrying out the task He has given you until He returns? Faithfulness is very important. But I want to remind you as I close that faithfulness is not a command. It's a result. God commands faithfulness throughout scriptures. I don't mean to say faithfulness is not a command. But in Galatians 5, it's a result. Look at number 7 in your notes one last time. Jessica, can you bring up number 7 in the notes? Number 7. God is faithful and God's Spirit lives in us. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. Let Him be the controlling influence in your life, and He will fill you with faithfulness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, fill us with faithfulness. We want to be loyal, trustworthy, and dependable. Fill us with faithfulness, we pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.